don't want what we know out there.
How a person can go from really almost nothing to becoming a millionaire by owning rental properties.
He would always buy these flip houses, and I just remember thinking, this guy is crazy. Why would he buy that house?
In the past decade, there's been a huge surge in the peer-to-peer short-term rental market.
Become an insider. So you have to know the rules before you get the game.
Every second counts. So make every second count.
Welcome to the Real Estate Jam. Whether you're just beginning or the best of the best, we're glad you're here. We will share successes, failures, and strategies for the action-taking real estate investor. And now to your hosts, JD and Melissa.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Real Estate Jam podcast. I'm JD.
Hi, JD. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, JD.
Oh, yeah. So happy. I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Melissa.
Hello.
And today we're going to do something we haven't done before, but it's something we do in our company pretty often, not always with me. our plan today is to take one of our calls and just kind of critique it, you know, and let you guys listen in to,
it's gonna be fun,
how the call goes, and then we'll stop and pause it along the way and talk about things that could have been done better, things that should have been done better or different, and we'll kind of let you guys hear how we're having some of these conversations, and
let's do it.
All right. Well, to set this call up, I'd already had one initial phone call where one of our virtual assistants had a call, learned about the property, put some notes in the CRM, and then set a time for me to call her back. I had called her back, and we talked about the property and kind of what they were doing. And they weren't going to be able, one, they didn't think that we'd be interested in it. So they wanted us to do a drive-by. It's just right down the road, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. So when we were out and about, I did a drive-by and took a look at it. And then this is me the following day giving her a call back to start that conversation. So do you have anything to add, Melissa?
No, I'm super excited.
Well, super excited. all right. So give me a second to share my call. And we will get it going. All right. So this is the first call. And what it's like.
Hey, Wendy,
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, I can.
Okay, and this is JD Monroe with Shorefront Investment.
I'm pretty well. How are you?
Good. I would go over, take a picture of the outside of the household on site. And so I wanted to call you back and tell you kind of what I was able.
So first thing, when I'm making these phone calls, unless it is, we've had multiple phone calls, I always want to identify myself, not so much in this case, but a lot of times, when we're dealing with, older clients or older sellers, when they don't know who you are and why you're calling, they can't get past that fact to move on to the other phases of the conversation. And so I want to make sure that they know who I am, and that way they know why I'm calling. Some cold calling and lead follow-up trainings tell you not to do that, that you have to capture their attention within the first couple of seconds. In this call, I realize I already have her attention, and I just want her to know who I am before we start talking.
Able to figure ballpark numbers wise, is now a good time?
Uh-huh.
So right there, I ask her, hey, is now a good time? And the reason for that is I've had multiple calls where I get on there, and as soon as I start into the pitch or start into giving the offer, either one, they get the offer and then say they have to go into the store or go to their appointment or do something like that. And so I'm not able to go through the entire process, because a lot of times getting that first no is just that. That's the first no. And that's when the real negotiation starts. It's not just me pushing my offer out there to her. And so I want to make sure she has enough time to have the conversation with me.
Can you turn that up a little bit?
I think that's as loud as it goes.
Just let me check.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. So if first, compared to the pictures, you guys did a lot of work over there. I couldn't even see the house from the Zillow pictures. So I didn't even recognize it when I drove by, and you know, that you guys had gotten rid of all that overgrowth and everything.
That is really me using something that I knew she was proud about, because not necessarily proud about, but she had said that on the previous call that she had done a bunch of work, that they'd been over there spending all their weekends over there cleaning it up. And it really was a dramatic, it was a jungle on Zillow Street View. And then when I went over there, everything, you could see the house clearly, everything was cleaned up. So I wanted to acknowledge her hard work in the process of building rapport with her while we're having this conversation.
That was good.
Lord, we've been working hard. I'll just be honest with you.
I can tell you've been doing that. You guys been doing that all yourself, or did you hire somebody to get over there? And
I've been doing that ourselves, and some family members have helped me.
No. Well, you guys obviously put a lot of work in.
Oh, yeah.
But so if I'm just assuming that it's kind of like a complete rehab, when I run the numbers out, I think ballpark wise, we'd probably be somewhere between 60,000 and 75,000.
So this is me actually giving the offer, and that's a little bit different than what I tell other people to do and what I should be doing myself. I should have set this up better, taken the time to explain, that all of the benefits that, hey, we can close on your timeline. You know, if you're looking for the cash to close this quickly, we can get it done on your timeline. You're not going to have to do anything else. If you guys want to walk away from the property right now as it is, we can just do that. I didn't set that up very well in the beginning. I think I realized that and start to recover later on in the call. But that initial spot, I should be trying to agitate her motivation and going into that stuff up front before I give that number. Now, luckily, she is a person who is willing to have the conversation. But a lot of times people just want to hear the number and just want to get off. And if she had been that type of person, then our conversation would have been over right here.
An offer. That's without seeing it on the inside, just kind of what we think, what we think it would take to fix it.
The other thing I didn't do, which I always tell everybody to do, is make that offer and then shut the fuck up. And I didn't do that. I made that offer and then started justifying why, when I should have justified and then made the offer. And then I could have sat back and been quiet and listened to what she had to say.
Yeah.
And obviously we're still looking to make the profit on it once we get it fixed up and sold. So that's kind of where we think. I think it'll probably take somewhere between 60,000 and 75,000 to get it fixed up.
Okay. You think it'll take 60 to 75 to fix it up?
Yeah, to do a full rehab, electrical, windows, and then all of the regular cosmetic stuff.
I didn't catch it the first time. I think she's repeating what I'm saying to to let her husband, who was also in the car with her,
I thought,
hear it. But what would be super gangster if she was using mirroring to negotiate back to me?
I was like, is she mirroring? Is she repeating it so somebody can hear it?
I would like to think that she is not some sniper negotiator, but that's what I should have been doing to her. But I think she was doing it for her husband.
I hope so.
The only thing I think that when we were talking about it, I think you said that the water heater was pretty good, but weren't sure about anything else. So I didn't count for a water heater, but that's really, that's $2,000 to buy a water heater and then maybe another $1,000 or so to have it installed professionally.
That'd be a really expensive water heater.
Gosh, that's a big one.
Okay.
So that's
not. Yeah. Okay, and what did you say your offer was?
We would be in the ballpark of around 60 to 70 without the one over there in the back room.
Again, I should have shut up.
Burned or something crazy, or the foundation was falling. That might change it, but just from what I saw on the outside doing the drive by, that's probably where we'd be at.
Okay. Can I get back with you because. I was going a little more than that.
Yeah.
That's that. Can I get back with you? Really, what she was saying there was no. And so my goal at that point, realizing that but by the way she was talking, it wasn't like a, hey, F you, get out of here, hang up the phone, I'm pissed off. It was, that's a little bit low. So my goal at this point was to extend the conversation and see if, what the true objection is. Is it really about the money? What do you need the money for? Try to gather as much information as I can about why my offer of 60 to 70 doesn't work for her. And that way, either we can come up with a new solution, maybe on her finance. Well, there's a whole bunch of other things that I need to think about, but I need some more information from her. So instead of just ending the call and saying, yeah, call me back, I wanted to extend that conversation.
Well, what were you hoping to get?
I was hoping to get knives. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
And I could walk away from it.
I think she said 90.
Okay.
But at the time, I thought she said 95. But 90 or 95, I'm not really sure.
Just walk away. But that was my number for it.
Why did you not ask her how she came up with that number?
That's a really good question. I should have. That's immediately the response that I normally get.
Yeah, what I hear you say
all the time. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I can say is for that is on our previous conversation, she said, well, I know that the tax assessor has it at 80. And so I just, in my mind, assume that. But that's a problem, too, because even if I know the answers or think I know the answers, I shouldn't be taking that. If my job is to gather this information, then even if I think I know the answer, ask the question and get her to tell me or her to justify that number. I guess maybe I'm a little bit gun shy on that after a couple of calls that we had earlier in the week where that line of questioning for whatever reason didn't work out for me. If you remember the vacant land where I used that line of questioning. And from that point forward, it was like I was questioning her integrity and her honor and calling everybody a liar. That might play into it a little bit, but that shouldn't matter. Because the tactics of getting people to think about how they got to that number, their sound, and having them help to justify, because she's not out there pulling comps.
No, but she could have just run that number, just picked that number just to renegotiate to a higher number when she might have taken 70. And so then you put them on the spot to have them answer, well, how'd they come up with that number? And then I think that really helps the conversation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I should have ran through it that way.
Well, if you can think about it, and mull it over, I'll go back and see if there's anything I can do to bump her up a little bit. So if there's other problems.
The reason why we were gonna talk.
That's another tactic that I really fail at a lot of times is nothing you have to say is as important as what they have to say. And sometimes I don't get that. We do have a little bit of a delay with our phone, depending on how fast the internet speed is at that certain time. But that's something right there. As soon as she started to come over the top of me, I wanted to shut up and let her speak. Now, that's easier said than done, especially when I'm fucking going off, but
right.
I really try to pay attention to that. And this time I did it, which is good. I'm sure there's other times in this conversation where I don't, but that is the way you should listen, and then listen to what she has to say. Don't just try to push your stuff through.
I just do to remodel herself. But I ran into some family from my grandson. I'm raising 5 grandkids, and my middle grandson has got kidney transplant. And we just got back from Gainesville, and he's on the cadaver list now. So I need to get out from under it. And so, you know, worms are going.
So right there, she has identified enough motivation that I 100% could have got her to agree to go under contract if I would have come up to her price. I still don't think that we can come up to the 95, even after we're going to be able to see it at this point when I'm looking at it. But I'm going to go in, and then we're going to have a more in-person negotiation. But right here at this point, if we were virtually wholesaling, or if this was not a property that I thought we were looking to wholesale it 100% and maybe not take it on as a personal flip right here at this point, when she said, hey, I just want to get out from underneath of it. At that point, I would have pushed harder to put it under contract right then. And if she wouldn't have came down and really the number that we need to be at for this one, we cannot be any higher than about 80,000. And she's just a little bit higher than that. So I would push for that 80,000. And if I was only on the wholesale plan and she couldn't do that 80,000, then I would bump my number up to hers, but I would have a different conversation, something that sounds like, hey, you know, in order to be able to do this, I'm going to have to bring in a partner or a couple of partners to do it. So if you give me 12 days to see if my partners would be willing to take it on at that price, then we can go forward. If not, we can renegotiate or move on. Some people think that that's a better tactic, but I would rather get it under contract at a price, especially because their situation, her personal situation, where that money matters. I don't want to drag these people along. They have a lot of other stress and a lot of other problems going on in their life right now. So I don't want to tell them something that we say we're going to do and then have to renegotiate later, if at all possible. Now, if we go through all the rest of our process and she's still at that number, I'll put it under contract and have that exact conversation with her, but being open and honest about it up front so that the renegotiation doesn't come as a surprise. I just don't think we're there yet. And we're the only investor that she's talking to right now.
But that could change.
That could change any day.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I do understand that. Well, I will try. And you know, if I get over and was able to see inside the property and it was better condition than a full rehab, or there was something, I'd be able to offer a little bit more. But without seeing it, you know, it's kind of hard for me to get factual numbers. I'm just using estimates, other rehabs.
I can tell you what, next week we're busy with doctor's appointments always. Sure. I have a lot to do we've got a lot that we've got to do and send back to Gainesville to Shan for my grandson.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Because everything's going before the board May 7th, and I have to get all this stuff in order.
That's important.
The next week we have, the next week we have a clear week and we don't have but that back room to finish cleaning out and one bedroom. now. Mm-hmm. We'll have everything cleaned out, but I won't have the walls that she.
Yeah.
And the walls are full of nicotine to one bedroom, the bedroom that she stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sweating. Pardon?
Are you there?
So now we go back and forth. Are you there? Hello, can you hear me? The call ends up disconnecting, and then she calls me back while I'm still trying to figure out what's wrong with the phone. Now one of the things Melissa had mentioned when we listened to this call was that there's a whole lot of yas. So there's two things with that, but my yas and yes ma'ams, all the verbal pauses or the things I'm doing to let her know that I'm paying attention and still there in the conversation. What I should be doing is mirroring her words and using some of those other, the psychology of persuasion, stuff, but that's why we do these call listens, so we can work on some of those things.
Hello, JD.
Hi. I was just talking to you.
What happened?
And my phone does that sometimes. We live out near Paxton and the service.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. The last thing I heard you say was that the one room she smoked in a lot has a bunch of nicotine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The house on the inside, you don't have to redo the ceilings or stuff.
Yeah.
With paint. It's flaking off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's flaking off is what I should have said.
You're going to be busy next week. And you got to take care of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But then that following week. And the other thing too is if I'm buying it for you.
So I was going to set the appointment for the following week, but then when she was talking about, oh, we're going to have to do this and this and this, it took a second for that to register in my brain. Oh, well, I should make sure that she knows that we will handle this kind of stuff. And it took a second. I was a little bit delayed on my recognizing what was the correct thing to say in that instance.
From you, you guys don't have to, you don't have to clean it out. You don't have to wash the walls. You know, that's
good.
What I paid for you to go in there and do.
Yeah, that's more stress. Like right now, like I, you know, with all this happening, and this has all occurred. We just found out that the child started having chest pains, and he's been getting a physical. He played basketball and stuff, and then we just found this out within 4 months. He has one kidney, and the function is only between 23% to 24%. So we had to rush him to Shands to get him on the cadaver list.
So preparing for my next conversation, one of the tactics that we learned from John Martinez, which is really good and we need to use it more often, is problem, impact, picture, perfect. And so what that'll look like is like, hey, I know you guys have this house that's taken away a lot of your time, especially it's taking away time from you taking care of your grandson. That's the most important thing that you're going to be dealing with. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when you can just devote all of your time to him and handling that and not have to worry about this crummy old house with all these other responsibilities? And then make sure we're identifying that, agitating the motivation, and then having the conversation. She's already using all of the key terms. She's talking about her feelings. She's stressed. These are overwhelming, all of this stuff. This person is ready to make a deal on this house. If we can just get our numbers close enough, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Because they say right now, with him being younger, it's better. He could get a kidney within 3 months. So you see why I'm in a panic mode to be frank with you.
Yeah.
You know, and he's only 17.
What I could have done better right here is identified, hey, your problem solved, regardless of what's happening. We're gonna be able to get your property taken care of. So that way she doesn't feel the need to continue looking for other people to figure it out.
Wow. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. So we've been, we've kind of been hit hard here. You know what I mean? It's been really not even to mention what he's going through, of course, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, like I said, if we buy, you don't have to worry about doing any of that. You could walk away from it as it is right now and never look back at it. But, well, you know, I can't, when we're talking numbers and we're really, we're really close. Sometimes I'm $100,000 off of what somebody wants. So to me, this is, we're really close. So if I can work my numbers up and maybe you guys can come off of that a little bit, you know, we can make something happen. But in order for me to really be able to give you a full, you know, good offer, I have to get over there and take a look at the inside. That'll help me get the numbers better than just guessing.
Okay. Well, we can set up a date the week of the 6th of May, if that's okay. And you just go over there. I can leave a key for you somewhere.
And we'll stop the call there. The only thing that happens from that point forward is we agree that I'll come over there on one of the days next week and have a conversation with her, take some pictures and really try to look at it. My plan is to go over there and get the property under contract. That's going to be the plan. We're a little bit far apart, you know, like $20,000-$30,000 apart on the deal, but it is pretty close.
Yeah.
And I got to see it and make sure that it is what we expect it to be. Do you have any thoughts, Melissa, on the call in general, overall?
I just would have, I would have not come off that number, you know, when you said, once I get over there, I might be able to pay more, because they don't hear any of that.
Sure.
They just hear he's going to still pay more. So I probably would not have gone there. And I think you already have, y'all were just at this small difference. And now you're saying maybe you can pay more.
Right.
When the goal is always to pay less. I mean, that's just the goal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's good feedback. I think that that's one of the things that I struggle with is knowing the difference between when to push it forward to get it through. Now, after listening to this call, I think we probably could have pushed this down to a number that was reasonable within this conversation for me to do. But when I am in the moment, it is hard for me to tell whether or not the other person is stuck on their number or if they're willing to come down off of it a little bit. After analyzing this and listening back, I think that she probably would have come down a little bit off of that number.
I think you could have probably got it under contract. I also would add, like you were started to say, you should have so gone in and closed it by saying, I'm going to take care of this, you know, kind of what we were doing in our other team meeting about, I'm going to take care of this for you. You don't need to worry anymore. We're going to handle all of this for you so that you can just concentrate on your grandson's health.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you already alluded that that's where you should have gone. And I think that definitely would have been, hey, I'm going to take on this problem. You no longer have to deal with it.
Yeah. That is exactly the direction that we should have went. I should have locked it up probably. I think that we are going to get it lower than 90 or 95. But how low, I'm not sure yet. And we're not, I'm not trying to lowball. I'm trying to make sure that we're not taking on her problem of that house on ourselves.
Yeah.
So we have to get it at a price that makes sense, that we can do something with. And I think if I pushed a little bit harder, we probably could have got a verbal agreement right then. So that's something that I'll look to work on in the future, but hopefully, We'll have an update to this call and this deal. Some of them are good. Some of them, some of the calls we have don't go this well. Some of the calls, I change my personality to try to match the person we're talking to. So if they're a rough and tumbly person, I'll talk to them like that. If they're a nice lady, a nice grandma who's just trying to look out for kids, then I'm talking to them like that. And sometimes
he has a Louisiana one too.
Oh yeah.
There's Cajun when he's Cajun. Man.
Yeah, it just changes. Ultimately, what we're trying to do is not convince somebody to sell their house. We're trying to find people who've already decided that they're going to sell their house, understand that it's probably going to be at a discount, and then I'm trying to work out the price that works for us and still works for them and gets them everything that they need. Sometimes that's not just price. Sometimes there's other options on what we can do, but I think this is a really good lead, and it shows how the conversation goes, because before you start having these conversations, you don't know. And it also shows that not everyone's perfect, and sometimes you just get in there and have the conversation, and you can learn from your own mistakes. You can get people that you trust to listen to your call, people who have more experience in negotiating, more experience having these kind of conversations, and you can analyze it and don't get your feelings hurt because somebody says you should do something different. It's a learning experience, and it's the only way we're going to get better.
Yeah. I would take it from there. And I would just say happy birthday. And you did an awesome job. And hopefully the appointment is next Monday. So we'll catch you up on it the following week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you guys like this, make sure you share it with some of the other people. If you have somebody who's afraid of getting on the phone, make sure you send it to them so that they can, I'm dying here, send it to them so that they can see what some of these phone calls look like. And then it might make them less nervous for actually having to have those conversations with them themselves. There's no wrong way to have the conversation. As long as you're talking to people, you're going to start to figure it out.
Yep. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Jam. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information, check out our website, therealestatejam.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Real Estate Jam. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us an email at therealestatejam@gmail.com. See you next episode.